whether you like it or not, you have to admit the snow puts you in more of a Christmas spirit. It's just, oh, I love it. I was out in the yard yesterday with my daughter pulling around on the sled, and she's all bundled up, and I'm in shorts and a sweatshirt, and I did have a stocking hat on, but I love it. I just, oh, this, God is good. Let's have a word of prayer before we open the Word of God. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the Christmas story, the gift of Jesus Christ. As Paul recorded, thanks be to God for his indescribable, his unspeakable gift. And Lord, thank you. And this morning, as we continue to focus on some lessons from the Christmas story, may we see examples from Simeon and Anna that we need to emulate, that we need to put some of the things into practice that they practiced. So Lord, bless our time together this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 2, if you will, please. So we're going to be looking at lessons from the Christmas story. Last week we looked at the innkeeper and shepherds. This morning, Simeon and Anna. So last week we looked in Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. This morning I want to look at verses 21 through 38. Luke 2, 21 through 38. It says, when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, in the first part of this, the majority of these verses focus on Simeon. All we know about Simeon is what Luke records for us right here. Simeon was a part of a faithful Jewish remnant that was eagerly looking for the Messiah. Now look at verse 25. It says, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Bible very clearly says he was righteous and devout, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And that's significant because you have to remember in this time, this is before Pentecost, this is before the Holy Spirit is given. In the day in which we live, the moment I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, the Holy Spirit comes to reside within me. But that wasn't the case then. The Holy Spirit came upon individuals for a specific purpose and for a specific time. Very few believers had the Holy Spirit. So it was significant that it says that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now Simeon knew that he would not see death until he saw the Messiah. And then in verse 27, we see God's providential timing. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. So the Holy Spirit leads him and directs him, and he comes to the temple exactly when God wants him there. And he's there to get ready for the family's arrival. The presence of the Messiah was a reason to praise God. Maybe you're not familiar with the Christian artist Michael Card, but Michael Card is a singer and a songwriter, and much of what he writes is directly from Scripture. And I want you to see a video of a song that he wrote based on this passage called "Now That I've Held Him in My Arms." Can you play that for me, Josh, please?
Temple, waiting in the court, waiting for the answer to a promise. And all at once he sees them in the morning sunshine, a couple coming carrying a baby. Now Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. Mary and the baby come, and in her hand 5 shekels, the price to redeem her baby. Baby softly cooing, nestled in her arms, Simeon takes the boy and starts to sing. Now that I've held him in my arms, my life can come to an end. Let your servant now depart in peace.
Michael Card's song, he starts out an old man in the temple, waiting in the court. We have no idea how old Simeon was. The Bible doesn't tell us. We picture him as an old man because he says, "Now I can die. Now I can die a happy man because I've seen the Messiah." Tradition, which we looked at a little bit last week when we talked about the innkeeper, and we have to rely on tradition. Tradition says he was around 113 years old. We really don't know. Very likely he may have been an older man. But there are some things we do know from Scripture about Simeon. Simeon was a man who was led by the Spirit of God. He was taught by the Word of God. And he was obedient to the will of God. Listen to that again. Simeon was a man who was led by the Spirit of God. He was taught by the Word of God. And he was obedient to the will of God. I want to make sure you hear me. Simeon was a man who was led by the Spirit of God. He was taught by the Word of God. He was obedient to the will of God. And because of Simeon's faithfulness, God allows him to see the salvation of God. The most important thing anybody can see is Jesus Christ in a saving way before they see death. That's where he's at. You know, now that I've held him in my arms, I can depart in peace. In verses 29 through 32, here we have the response to seeing Jesus. It says, Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. We get caught up sometimes on the semantics and we debate some of the minute things that really have no significance. For instance, we'll look at this passage and it will say in verse 28, and he said, or when we come up to Anna and she said these things. And we say, well, you hear sermons about their singing. Well, very likely this was a combination of talking, singing, and almost chanting, which would have been part of the ceremonial worship. So very likely he's singing a part of this. Very likely he's just saying very calmly a part of this. Very likely he's chanting a part of this. We don't know exactly what's all happened, but I picture this as a song of praise, and I picture it almost as a worship hymn, because Simeon is understanding the significance, and he blesses God for keeping his promise and sending the Messiah. Here, Simeon joyfully praises God that he has been privileged to see the Lord's Christ. It's a worship hymn, but it's also a salvation hymn. He says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, verse 30. Now he's ready to die. That word depart, he says, your bondservant can depart in peace, in verse 29. That word depart has several different meanings in the Greek. And each of them tells something different about the death of a Christian. For a Christian, for a child of God, we're not afraid of death. I didn't say we're not afraid to die. You know, I don't look forward to dying. And I don't look forward to the process of that. But death doesn't scare us, because we know what death brings. It releases from the misery and the pain and the struggles and the hurts here on this earth and releases us to that everlasting life with God the Father. It says, now I can depart in peace. So we see this worship hymn, the salvation hymn. It's also a missionary hymn, because he sees this great salvation going to the Gentiles. Now this is very unusual for a Jew to have a heart for the Gentiles. For a Jew to even mention the Gentiles in a positive way. And here Simeon has a vision of God's salvation is available to all. Because of the Messiah, everyone can be saved. And then Simeon stops praising and he starts prophesying. In verses 34 and 35, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Jesus was going to be a rejected cornerstone that the nation Israel would stumble over. Because of Jesus Christ, many in Israel would fall in conviction and then rise in salvation. Verse 34, he says, this is a sign. You know, a sign to be opposed. That word sign means miracle, but this is not talking about a demonstration of power. This is talking about a revelation of divine truth. And then in verse 35, he's speaking to Mary. He says all this to Mary. A sword will pierce even your own soul. He's talking about the suffering she's going to endure as the earthly mother of Jesus Christ. Because Joseph isn't mentioned, most theologians believe that Joseph is gone by the time Jesus Christ starts his earthly ministry. Because it's just addressed to Mary. You are going to hurt. It's going to be painful. It's not going to be fun. So as we think about Simeon, what are some lessons that we can learn from Simeon? Some of the obvious things are when it says he was righteous and devout. He sought for Christ. That should describe us. We should be righteous. We should be devout. We should be seeking for Jesus Christ. He was looking for the Messiah to come. We're looking for the return of Christ. We're looking for Jesus Christ to come back. He yielded to the Holy Spirit's control. He was led by the Spirit. As children of God today, the Holy Spirit indwells us, but are we led by the Holy Spirit? Are we doing what the Holy Spirit leads us to do? Are we saying what the Holy Spirit leads us to say? He lived a life for Christ to the fullest. What are we giving Jesus Christ today? What are we giving God today? You know, God's will is going to be accomplished. It works a lot better when we work with Him rather than fight against Him. You know, the message of salvation should change our lives and our outlook on life. The message of salvation should make a difference for us. Now let's think about number two. Let's think about Anna. Anna. In verses 36 through 38, there is a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. Then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. The name Anna means grace. Grace. She was a godly widow of great age. In that culture and in that time, the law provided for widows, but it really didn't make much difference in everyday life to most people. Widows were often taken advantage of. They were often neglected. They were often exploited. Now notice it says that she devoted herself. She served God. And it says, hate it when I don't write down my verse. Verse 37. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. She never left, serving night and day. She was willing to miss a meal or two to devote that time to serving God. So she moved from the tribe of Asher, and she remained in the temple, waiting for the appearing of God's promised Messiah. She may have lived in one of the rooms that surrounded the temple precinct. And then in verse 38, we see God's timing again. His timing is always perfect. At that very moment, at the moment when Simeon takes that child, at that moment when Simeon praises God for the Messiah, it's at that moment that she comes in to see what's going on. And I imagine that she joined in song. So she said these things and she spoke of him to all who were looking. She did all these things, but I imagine she just is praising God. And she's coming alongside Simeon and she's just honoring God. And she did more than just sing. It says, and she continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. She shared the good news. And she continued to share the good news with that remnant that were looking for the redemption of Israel. And so the excitement spread as this good news is shared to more and more people. Anna was a prophetess. That means that she had a special gift of declaring and interpreting God's message. She didn't live an easy life. So she was married for 7 years. And then depending on your translation and we aren't sure exactly if she was 84 years old now, and she was a widow to the age of 84, as my translation says, but there are some translations that lead you to believe she was a widow for 84 years, which would put her over 100 years old. We don't know exactly. It doesn't matter. At this point, and if you're 84, I have news for you, you are advanced in years. You know, as the Bible says, she was advanced in years. Her life is, she knows she doesn't have a long time left, but here she is excited to worship God. She's excited to see the Messiah. And it is encouraging when you meet someone like Anna, someone who has devoted their life to God, whose gray hair is a crown of life and a crown of honor, and when their time on earth is done, they're okay with that, and they're rejoicing, and they're praising God. One of the privileges I've had as a pastor is on several occasions to be with individuals, you know, as they are very near and sometimes at their last breath here on this earth. I think of, and I've probably shared with you, I think of Avis Miracle often. Many of you know Avis, and Christy and I really enjoyed our spending time with Willie and Avis when we were here. And I would often go over and visit Avis, and Avis was legally blind, and she couldn't see, and she could make out an image there, but she couldn't see her face. And invariably, the conversation always got around to University of Michigan, her favorite, versus Michigan State, my favorite. And we'd spend time and just share. But I remember one time, and it was within the last week of her life. And I was there with Avis, and Willie had gone into the kitchen to get a cup of coffee or something. And I knelt down, I got on my knee right by her chair, and she just grabbed my face and just squeezed it. She said, "Pastor, I'm a little worried about Willie. You know, what's going to happen to Willie? But I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home." You know, just, I can picture that's Anna. I remember another occasion when we left here and we went to Heritage Hills Bible Church, and there was a woman who hadn't been saved all that long, but who loved Christ and was excited about her new life in Christ, and her name is Dickie Smith. And Dickie, from the time she found out she had cancer until she went home to glory, was less than a month. It was around Easter time. And so spring was coming, and Bob and Dickie had a comfortable home in town. Nothing fancy, but a comfortable home. But they lived for, they had a mobile home on a lake. And they lived for that time on the lake all summer. Just watching the activities on the lake and just spending time near the water and seeing the wildlife nearby. And she always just said, "Pastor, I can't wait to get to the lake. I mean, in the middle of December, I can't wait to get to the lake." And as spring was coming, and I, you know, in the last 48 hours of Dickie's life, I probably spent about 24 to 30 hours with her in the hospital. I remember I was with her one of those days, and she told her husband, Bob, "Go get something to eat. You know, go down to the cafeteria, and I want to just talk to my preacher." And we just sat and talked for about 4 hours. And some different family members came in, and she said, "Nope, it's my time with my preacher. Just go." And it just was a special time. And I'll never forget, she just, again, sort of like Avis, she just sort of grabbed my face, and she said, "Pastor Jeff, I'm ready to go home." And this time, she wasn't talking about the lake. You know, Simeon and Anna, that's where they're at. You know, "I'm ready. I've seen everything there is to see. I've seen your salvation. You know, he's the light of the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." And you know, Anna is telling everybody about Jesus Christ. Think about who Anna was. At a young age, she lost her husband. There's no mention of any children. Probably there would be if there were children involved, but she withdrew. She withdrew from the outside, and she went to the temple. There's no record that she complained about her circumstances in life. There's no record that she had a woe is me pity party. She just went to serve God in the midst of the heartache. And she lived a godly life of giving him control. Anna was the first female missionary. As she sees Jesus Christ, she can't help but tell other people about what's going on. She began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. What are some lessons we learn from Anna? It says she was devoted to prayer. Every one of us needs to be more devoted to prayer than we are. And we all know that. We need to be devoted to spend time in the Word of God. As a prophetess, she would have spent a lot of time in the Word of God. We need to be a missionary who verbally shares about Jesus Christ. We need to be continually thankful for who God is and what He's done. And let me say very seriously to you, don't give up serving God in the tough times. Our natural reaction is to maybe blame God, to get ticked off at God. Well, I don't deserve this. I shouldn't be going through that. She didn't blame God. She served God. Don't give up serving God in the tough times. Stay true to Him no matter what. A couple of godly individuals who have a lot to teach us about serving Him. Father, we thank You for the lessons from Simeon and Anna. Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ, the Messiah. We thank You for that light to the Gentiles and the glory to Your people Israel. Lord, as we think about Simeon and Anna, we see in their lives things that ought to be a part of our lives. We see things that we should put into practice. Especially this time of year, help us to focus on Christ. Help us to get excited about the fact that we have beheld Your salvation. We've experienced Your salvation. And may we live out that reality. May we live out that truth. Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name.